It's been said that Jesus talked about hell more than any other subject. Is that really true? In fact, what did Jesus have to say about hell? Find out in this episode of Grace in Focus. Hey, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm very glad that you've come to join us today. I want to tell you about our series that we're in currently. It's called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. At the end of this broadcast, I'm going to tell you how to get your hands on a copy of a book by the same subject. Stay tuned for that. But until then, let's jump right into the discussion with Sean and Bob. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we have been going through some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and we're taking these discussions from Bob's book of the same name, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words of the Bible, which you can get on Amazon.com or at our website, faithalone.org. Last episode, we talked about heaven. Or actually, the last two episodes, we talked about heaven and the new earth and where believers will spend eternity. Well, the next topic is this topic called hell. That's a hot topic, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, Sean, thank you so much. This is a topic that I didn't want to write about for years and years and years, because the danger is you're stepping on somebody's sacred cow. You know, somebody believes that their view of hell is the absolutely right view of hell. And if your view is more conservative than their view, then they think there's something wrong with you because you're too conservative. If your view is perceived as more to the left of their view, then they think you're some liberal.
Right.
And so there's a lot of danger. But I think the thing we need to understand is that the Bible says very, very little about hell.
Right. So that's an interesting thing that you say there, because a lot of people would say Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven.
And that's quite misleading, because he may have used the word Hades more than he would use the word Uranus, at least when he's referring to the third heaven. The truth is, he said almost nothing about what hell is like.
And so let's start here. There is actually no place called hell in the Bible.
Okay.
Maybe you should start there.
Okay.
Hell is a term that the King James translators used to describe many different places in the Bible.
That is correct. The problem is the Hebrew word for the place of the dead is called Sheol. The Greek word for that same place is called Hades. In fact, that's in Greek mythology. Hades is, you know, the one who's in charge of the underworld and that sort of thing. But there are many other words that are used as well, like Tartarus and the abyss. Also, you have Gehenna.
Right.
And so you have other terms that are used. But the thing that people need to understand is all those terms are referring to what's going on now, not in eternity. In
right.
Eternity, it's called the lake of fire.
Right, so that's another difference. Okay, so there's the Bible, after you die, it made a difference if you died before the cross, after the cross.
Yes.
And after the return of Christ, it changes. There is no one place called hell in the Bible. That is purely tradition that has just been passed on, that has really very little to do with the Bible.
That's correct. If we were going to be accurate, we would talk about Hades or Sheol. Maybe we should look
at... Yeah, let's talk about this. Okay, let's say...
Luke 16.
All right, so in Luke 16, Jesus tells this story. Some people think it's a parable. Either way, it depicts the afterlife.
It does.
All right.
But it depicts the afterlife before Jesus ascended to heaven.
Before the cross. All right. So this
right.
is what happened to people before the cross, before the ascension.
Right.
All right. In that parable, you have two people. You have the rich man and you have a poor man named Lazarus.
And you also have a third person where the poor man is reclining on his chest, Abraham.
Right. That's right. So tell us where there's actually at least two different places, kind of like in one big place referred to in this parable, right?
Exactly. Right, the place that is where Abraham and the rich man are is paradise. And the reason we know it's called paradise is Jesus said to the thief on the cross who believed in him, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus did not ascend to heaven when he died on the cross. Jesus went to Hades when he died on the cross, or Sheol. He went to the saved part of Hades.
Well, you're blowing my mind.
Okay,
here, you're blowing my mind.
Come
all right.
Back. Come
Let
back.
Me read this verse. Let me read the passage.
All right.
I'm going to read the parable or the story. It's in Luke chapter 16, starts at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And Jesus kind of describes his... Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So this guy's having a really rough life.
Right.
So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to hell.
No,
it doesn't say that. It says he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom.
Right.
And then the rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in hell.
Hades.
No, it Hades. Says Hades. So we have two places here. The poor man goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man goes to Hades. And listen to this in verse 23. And being in torments in Hades. So is he having a good time in Hades?
No,
by the time
no.
He's being tormented.
No.
He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So not only is he carried to Abraham's bosom, he's actually with Abraham in
yes.
this story. Then the rich man cries out in verse 24, then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So we know that Hades is it's the hot part. It's full of flames here.
Yes, most likely, because every time people died in the Old Testament, they went down. Most likely, Hades is in the center of the earth. And obviously, God has to manipulate the environment. Of course, people don't have regular bodies there. They have some sort of temporary bodies. But whatever they are, God has modulated the environment. And on the paradise side, Abraham and Lazarus, on that side, it's air conditioned.
Right. And notice, people, notice, Abraham is there. Abraham, the man of faith, is there.
Right.
People of faith
are in Hades.
Are in Hades. At least during, this is before the cross, resurrection, and ascension.
So if
they
you're
going to
call Hades hell, you're going to say Abraham's in hell.
So this is a very weird thing. If you're using this kind of unbiblical language that hell just refers to all these different places, it leads to contradiction. So
it's
important to be clear and to use the Bible's own terminology. So believers before the cross went to Abraham's bosom. And unbelievers before the cross went to this place called Hades.
No, they both went to Hades, but...
The hot part of Hades.
The bad part,
right.
Yeah. You got the good part and the bad part. And the good part, which is called paradise, is where Abraham and his peeps were. But notice, the rich man can see him. It's
right.
not like they're separated by 100 miles or something. He can look across and see him, and he actually wants Lazarus to dip his finger.
Right, and so Abraham explains this after he asks for Lazarus to be sent. Again, the rich man, even in Hades, still is treating Lazarus like a slave.
Yeah.
He has not changed. He has not repented. He has not anything. He's still treating Lazarus like a poor, rotten kind of guy that he despises.
Yeah.
And in verse 26, Abraham says this. He says, and besides this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That's a third place in this underworld.
Right. There's some sort of a barrier between the two. Now, this only existed, of course, until 33 AD.
Right.
Once Jesus ascended, Ephesians 4, 8, and 9, he took all of the people in paradise with him to the third heaven, which now became paradise.
Right. That parable just describes the afterlife before the cross. Okay, now let's talk about what happened at the cross and after the cross.
Right.
Where do people go at that point?
Well, people who died, for example, the thief on the cross, when he dies, he goes to paradise. So he goes to Abraham's bosom because that's before Jesus ascended. So from the time that Jesus died until 40 days later when Jesus ascended, in those 40 days, people would be in Hades. But once Jesus ascended 40 days later, from that point until now, every believer who dies goes to the third heaven. And that will be true until the time of the rapture. At the time of the rapture, of course, all the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we were alive, we'll be caught up, we'll meet the Lord in the air.
All right. So unbelievers, though, are still going to Hades even now. If an unbeliever dies today,
yes,
where do they go? They go to
Hades.
They
go to Hades, and it's all the bad part.
It's all the bad part. It's the flames, it's the torment, it's the conscious torment. By the way, you might have been asking, you know, where do we kind of stand on this the spectrum of hell? And we do believe in eternal conscious torment, but it's not quite the way you would have heard it from Reformed or Catholic sources.
Right. They call that ECT, eternal conscious torment. And that's clearly what the scriptures teach. I mean, when we look, and there's other passages we can look at in the next show, but when we look just at this passage, we see that the rich man is tormented. Now, when he says in these flames, I don't believe it means he's on fire like some people have speculated. I think what it means is he's in a fiery environment that's hot and he's in torment. Now, what we don't know is how does his experience compare to other people's in Hades? Is he experiencing a worse experience than most, a better experience than most, or is his average? And we also don't know, does his experience vary throughout time? In other words, on some part of the day is his experience better and sometimes it's worse. So we don't have a very good picture of this level of torment. One thing we do know is however much torment he's in, he's able to carry on an intelligent conversation.
Right. He's looking. He's seeing people. He's talking to them. He's understanding what's being said. He's, having a conversation.
And he goes on to beg Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to talk to his brothers. So he's able to think, to reason. And I would suggest that the picture we get from Luke 16, 19 through 31 is one of tolerable suffering. But it is conscious. It is torment, and it is eternal, although we're not told that in this
We don't know that from this parable. We're going to see that from another section. Bob, I think we're going to have to keep on talking about this in another episode.
It's a big topic. Now, as I've said, there's not a lot in Scripture about it, but what there is, we should cover carefully.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for walking us through this difficult concept called hell. It's possible that this subject has raised more questions than it answered. If that's the case, I sure hope you'll email us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. While you're online, you might come over to our website and check out what we've got available for you. For instance, you can get a copy of the book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, right there on the site. In addition to that, we've got all kinds of free resources. For instance, you can get a subscription to this podcast, free blogs, free videos. You can even get a free subscription to our print magazine, which is called Grace in Focus. While you're there on the site, faithalone.org, we'd invite you to partner with us by giving a tax-deductible donation to this ministry to help us carry the message of God's grace far and wide. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our discussion about hell with a specific look to a phrase, the lake of fire. I hope you'll tune in to that amazing discussion tomorrow. But until then, let's keep grace in focus.